This is Digital Story Podcast number 798, July 6, 2021. Today's theme is the Nikon Z FC, brilliant or brain freeze? I'm Derek Story. For those of us who love classic Nikon film cameras, it's hard not to have an impulse buy reaction when first setting eyes on the new Nikon Z FC with Heritage 28mm lens. But since we've learned that it will take a while for Nikon to get these out the door, we do have the luxury of analyzing just how brilliant or not this camera is. I hope you enjoy the show. So this was announced right after I recorded last week's podcast, which is probably a good thing because it gave me some time to settle down after seeing it, right? After taking a look at this and really start to dig in to some of the facts about this camera. Now, the reason why I had to settle down for people who are like me, who love classic Nikon film cameras, I own one, two, three, four of them, and don't plan on parting with them anytime soon. You know, you look at this camera and you just go, wow, a digital version of, let's say, an FM3, which it's very close to looking like. What could go wrong? What could be bad? How could I not get this camera? I mean, that's what happens to us. Now, those of you who aren't Nikon fans, I'm sure you have much more resistance to this thing, and you might look at it and go, that looks like an old film camera. What do I care? It's probably hard to use, right? So it's gonna depend on where you are on that scale. But for people who like these types of cameras, people who like classic Olympus design, people who like Fujifilm digital cameras, this camera is going to have some curbside appeal. It really is. And then on top of that, they're adding a Heritage design. That's what they're calling Heritage design 28mm f2.8 lens that has that silver band around it, which is the same silver band that I have on many of my Nikon AIS lenses, my manual focusing lenses. So I'm looking at that. I'm looking at that cute little, not pancake, but very, very compact 28mm lens, which this is on a cropped sensor camera. So it, you know, it's 28mm times 1.5. I'm looking at that lens and going, that is even more adorable. All it needs is an aperture ring, which it doesn't have, by the way. And I'm not sure if that was smart or not smart. I don't know. By the time we finish with all the other details, you can decide for yourself about the aperture ring. I just kind of left that one hanging out there right now. So I had to get over that. So it's probably good that I had a whole week before I did this show in order to, you know, get to an even point. And what I decided to do is I made two lists for this camera. Things I like and what could be improved. And we're going to start out with the things that I like with this camera. And the reason why I'm talking about it now, I was going to wait until I got my hands on a review copy. And then I found out that Nikon is going to be way behind on production on this. So who knows when my review copy will show up. And I just felt like, okay, I don't want to wait that long. I want to talk about it now. So that's why we're talking about it now. If I get the review copy, then I'll give an update and say, okay, now here it is in my hands and here's what I think. But right now, looking at the specs, studying, you know, the different sites that have talked about and all that, here's what I like. I love the looks. That's obvious, right? I absolutely love the looks. I think it is beautiful. And it's, you know, very compact too. And I think that classic 28mm lens is handsome and it's affordable. So I really appreciate that. Now they have another little zoom lens that you can get with it, but I would probably get both in the beginning if I was going to buy this camera because I would definitely have that 28mm prime lens as part of the mix. It's a good bang around lens. It works out to be about a 42mm lens with a DX format. So that's a nice, you know, shoot around lens. I mean, it's just, I like the lens. I like it that they came out with that lens and also with the little zoom lens as well. Because this camera is light and it's nimble, I don't mind the APS-C sensor, the DX format. Now, some people are going, I want a full frame version of that. Well, there was a full frame version of this camera, more or less, the DF. So, okay, that's out there still. You can buy that. But this one is more modern. It's lighter. And unlike the previous classic styling that Nikon did, this one is very video capable as well. I like the 3-inch, 1 million dot, very angled touch screen that folds inward. And when it folds so that the screen is against the back of the camera, which is really nice because you don't have to worry about scratching it, it has that nice leatherette texture on the back and it just blends in and it looks like the back of a Nikon camera, a classic Nikon camera, even with that LCD, because the LCD is hidden and you just see that wonderful texture. That is a very nice touch. I dig it a lot. I appreciate having ISO 100 to 51,200, and I appreciate up to 11 frames per second on the shooting. Time-lapse movies are built into this, so that's really cool, including very capable HD and 4K movie recording. Now, the only limitation that I saw that would be a problem for me possibly on this is that I think there is a 30-minute cap on the video recording. I don't shoot things longer than that normally, but the first time I have a cap to deal with, then I'm going to have a situation where I need to shoot for 40 minutes, right? So you know how that works. So you should be aware of that as well. Has a very nice 2.36 million dot OLED electronic viewfinder. Super important to have that viewfinder, and it looks really good. Again, classic Nikon styling. Now, it has a robust magnesium alloy chassis that is both dust and weather resistant. So that is very cool. And that one was a little bit of a surprise for me. You can do web conferencing using a USB Type-C cable. By the way, you have to come up with that on your own. It is not included in the box. And you can do live streaming as well. So you can use it as a webcam. You can use it as a webcam. And, you know, it's funny that I'm thinking, oh, well, who would use it as a webcam? Well, my webcam for all the classes that I'm doing online as part of the Nimble Photographer Classroom series are done with a Pen F, an Olympus Pen F, with that beautiful 17 millimeter lens on there. So, yes. And it's very nice to look at during all my classes. It's part of the joy of doing those classes. So yeah, I could see using this camera quite a bit as a webcam because it's just sitting there. You put that 28 millimeter lens on there, very nice. And it's handsome to look at. And suddenly you're just smiling during the entire Zoom call. You're just big grin on your face there. It has a 3.5 millimeter mic jack built in, and that is a stereo jack, so that's good. The ISO, as I mentioned earlier, goes all the way up to 51,200, so I appreciate that. And the metering range, I think, is crazy. Negative 4 EV to 17 EV metering range. That's very nice. That's very nice. So combine that with the high ISO performance and you know that 28 millimeter f2.8 lens on there. And you can do a lot of fun stuff in low light. So these are all the things that I like about that camera. You know, and there's quite a few here. I mean, this is a nice long list. However, there are a few things that I feel could be improved. One is on a camera like this, I want a built-in flash. And I'm thinking of the Olympus OMD EM10 series. You know, I feel like this camera is sort of in that range, that ballpark. And I can't tell you how much I love having that pop-up flash on that EM10. There are many situations where I don't want to carry an extra flash. I'm traveling light and I just need a little bit of fill light for a portrait, a little bit of fill light for this or that. And having that pop-up flash is lovely. I feel like a camera that's in this customer base target, as this Nikon Z is, You know, it's not a professional camera. This is a camera for consumers and enthusiasts. I want that built-in flash, and I was disappointed that it isn't there. Also, to my knowledge, there isn't an ultrasonic sensor cleaner built in. This is something else that I absolutely love about Olympus cameras. I never have dust. It was funny. I woke up one day after using Olympus cameras for like 5 years, and I go, I never have any dust. It's just, I never have to touch up dust in my pictures. Well, that's because it has that ultrasonic sensor cleaner. The Nikon Z FC does not have that. That's a bit of a disappointment to me. It also doesn't have, and I will tell you right now, this is my biggest disappointment. It does not have sensor-based image stabilization. None. Now, the 28mm lens does not have optical stabilization, and I don't expect that from a 28mm lens. I like it when it's there, but I don't expect it. But the zoom does. That little zoom does have optical stabilization built in that you can get in the kit or you can buy separately. So you're going to have to depend on lenses that are stabilized in order to have image stabilization with this camera. Now, there are more ramifications to this that I'll talk about in a minute, but right off the top, this is a disappointment to me. It has a single slot SD card slot, so it's SD, SDHC, XC. I'm okay with a single card slot in a camera like this. Again, this is a consumer enthusiast camera, not a pro camera, but it is UHS 1, and I don't understand what's going on with that. You know, Fujifilm has done the same thing, UHS 1. It's a 4K video recorder, and it's a UHS 1 slot. Don't get it. Very disappointed. I'm okay with single slot, but it should be UHS 2. And then a small thing, but it's kind of a big thing for me because I like to go back and forth. There's no manual focusing / autofocusing mode switch on the camera. I really like it when I have that. I have that on my X100V, and I just dig it. It's so nice, and I use it. So sort of miss that. That's more of a personal nit, I know, but I got to put it on the list because I miss it, and I feel bad about it that it's not there. Where are we on all this sort of thing? Well, where I am right now, based on what could be improved and what I like, I think I need to shoot with it to really give my final verdict. You know, otherwise, because, you know, the physical experience can overcome some little things in terms of spec. So I don't know how strong the physical experience will be, but I think I need to shoot with it before I have my final verdict. But here are some thoughts right now anyway. I think Nikon missed a big opportunity by not including sensor-based image stabilization and sensor cleaning. I think those two features should be in a camera like this. Again, I feel like it's competing with the Olympus EM10, all right, which has both of those features. Had those been included, then we're really starting to inch toward a, you know, a positive buying experience for me. Like, all right, start planning how I'm going to get the money to do that, all right? Also, and I think this is a bit of a miss, at least for those of us who like vintage lenses, and since Nikon is playing off the vintage design of the camera body, and they even include that 28mm heritage design on that, there's really no pathway, as far as I can tell, to use my classic AIS optics, my Nikon optics, manual focusing optics, on this body. Had there been a pathway there, then this would be super tempting because I have some great Nikon glass that would look great on this body. So I did a little digging around on this, and I actually ended up over at Ken Rockwell's site, and here's what he said about this. So this is a quote from Ken. Use the FTZ adapter, and it should work with most Nikon DSLR AFS lenses, but it won't autofocus with AF or AFD screw focus lenses, and it works very poorly with manual focus AI and AIS lenses. Oh, man. So now I'm going, wow. So I can't put my 35 millimeter f/2.8 Nikon lens on there. You know, I can't. Now I know this is a DX body and it's going to size everything up, but I have, you know, I have some wide Nikon lenses that would be really nice on here. So that to me is a bit of a disappointment. So I'm really sorry about that. So in my book right now, as things stand, the Nikon ZFC is both brilliant for its design and a brain freeze for its lack of obvious features. And that's where I stand. We'll see if I change my mind when I actually get to shoot it. But there I am right now. Now, however, if these obstacles, if these disappointments don't bother you, you can pre-order it now for $1,196. That includes the 28 millimeter lens. And I think you can get it for $100 less if you get the little zoom with it instead of the 28 millimeter. If you're inclined to do that, I would go ahead and queue up right now. I'd go ahead and get in line because Nikon published a post this week that said that they have constrained manufacturing on this and they may fall behind their predicted July delivery schedule. We'll wait and see how that all pans out. So if you really want this camera, and I don't blame you if you do, I would go ahead and pre-order it now. As soon as I get my hands on one, I'll follow up and we'll talk about the shooting experience. And let's see if I feel more brilliant after that and a little less brain freeze. We have a workshop swap for September. So last week I announced the lineup of workshops for the next year. And I'm really excited about this. And I love all the signups that have started coming in already. And they've been pretty even. They've, you know, a lot of signups for Capture One Pro. I'm really looking forward to doing that one. Signups for writing for artists. You know, that class, the writing class, our first writing class, getting signups for that. I'm digging that. Getting signups for our workshops up in the future, such as the infrared workshop and so forth. But we weren't getting any traction at all. In fact, it was crickets with the On1 effects offering. And I had that queued up for second half of September. So right now we're in the middle of the black and white workshop. And then after that, we're going to roll into Capture One Pro, which is filling up nicely. And then I was going to roll into On1 Effects, which was crickets. But I had all this interest in infrared. I'm getting mail. Well, I know you're not going to do your infrared workshop till next year, but I'm still in. I was thinking, wow, if people are willing to wait a year for that workshop, maybe I'd have moved that one up and put the On1 Effects on hold. So that's exactly what I've done. So our lineup now is in the middle of black and white right now. And then in August, we're going to do Capture One Pro. And then in the second half of September, we're going to do another infrared workshop, which already has signups for it. And then we're going to roll into the writing class for artists in December. How much fun is all of that? So if you've been waiting for the IR class and you go, I didn't want to wait till next year, I'll just sign up later. Know that we're going to do one in the second half of September now. It will start, I believe, on September 22nd and go for 4 weeks. All you have to do is go to thenimblephotographer.com, click on workshops, you'll see it there. And of course, I have the links to it in the show notes. So you can just go to the show notes and have links to this and everything else I talk about, including that very tempting Nikon ZFC. I want to talk about music for just a minute. I like to cover audio products every now and then. I feel like it's part of the mix for us. I've covered, you know, headphones and earphones, all that good stuff. I've covered speakers, and I have some very cool speakers to talk about right now. If you want the full review, it's on the Digital Story site. I published it there on Sunday, but it's called Great Music to Go, the Get Together Mini Portable Bluetooth Speakers Review. And I let off the review by saying this. I've collected many Bluetooth speakers over the years so I can enjoy and share music when I'm away from my home hi-fi components. Usually, I will like one aspect, such as the sound, but not another, such as the form factor. When I got my hands on the Get Together Mini by House of Marley, I got everything I want in one package. And that is the bottom line on this speaker set. So it's an adorable speaker set. It's not too big, but it's not too small. When I set it down next to my MacBook Pro 13-inch laptop, it is the same width as my MacBook Pro 13-inch laptop. So that'll just give you an idea about, you know, its size. It's not too big. It's not too big. But it sounds fantastic. I mean, it sounds fantastic. And I know I'm sounding very superficial this week, but I love the looks. And the looks actually are what attracted me to this in the first place. So the outer case is a combination of natural solid bamboo. It's got this beautiful bamboo faceplate in the front, and it's thick too. I mean, it's a nice hunk of wood right there. And then it has another piece of bamboo in the back. So when the speakers, especially the bass, are going, it kind of vibrates back and forth. So that's in the back as well. So it's got two very nice pieces of bamboo. And then the rest of the unit is wrapped in what they call rewind fabric. And it's this fabric made out of recycled materials that looks really cool, but even more so, it feels fantastic. So when you pick up the speakers to go to another room or just to walk around the house or walk around the beach or whatever you do with them, it just feels so good in the hand. Just this fabric with the bamboo, and it looks absolutely sharp. And I've got a picture of them on the full review, my picture of them on the full review that I have on the Digital Story site. So you can go take a look at them. In terms of the sound and what's going on there, let me give you some of the specs because they sound really well. What I've been listening on them lately, Revolution just came out with a new album called In the Moment. I don't know if you've ever listened to Revolution or if you know their music, but they're a combination of reggae music, and then also they have a very kind of rock pop feel to them too. And they managed to meld this all together into a very pleasing sound with excellent lyrics, terrific lead vocalists. They are tight in terms of their music ability. Their arrangements are fantastic. Really a good group, especially if you like that backbeat rhythm which you get on a lot of the songs. Their latest album is In the Moment. So I've been listening to that album, In the Moment, on the Get Together Mini, which is designed and produced by House of Marley. You see, the whole thing just sort of fit together for me. Listening to Revolution on a House of Marley product suddenly goes, you know, this is, yeah, I have to do this. I just have to do this. That album on that set of speakers sounds so good that it got me all excited. And I said, okay, I'm going to write about this. So here's what that device features. So it's got 2.5-inch woofers and 1-inch tweeters. So two woofers, two tweeters. They work together very well. Whatever the crossover is inside of this, it's quite good. 10 hours of playtime. Bluetooth technology allows your device to be up to 45 feet away from the speaker while still maintaining the connection. Very nice. Compatible with both iOS and Android. It has a built-in microphone, so you can use it as a speakerphone to take and make calls if you want. It has an auxiliary input jack that allows you to connect it to all sorts of things, including record players. And they make a turntable, by the way, that would be matching to this. And that is a tempting set. I have a turntable I love right now. I have the Audio-Technica turntable, but I'm looking at this one by House of Marley that would match these speakers and go, man, maybe I should have a record player in another room. you know these thoughts that go through our heads. It has an auxiliary input jack, so you can also do TVs and other audio devices. And then it has, it actually has two USB ports. So it has the USB mini to charge it, and then it has a USB, you know, standard USB-A port that you can use to charge other USB devices with this. So for example, if your phone is providing the music for this, you know, playing through the speakers, and use that big old battery that's in the speaker set to keep your phone charged while you're playing music. I think that's a really super nice touch. Now, one thing I want to say about this, because I always research these things in addition to my user experience, and some customers had complained, I dug through the reviews on the site, about that mini USB charging port failing. In other words, it prevented them from being able to refuel their rechargeable battery. And there was more than one of those complaints. There's a whole bunch of reviews, but I saw like around six or more of those complaints about the USB mini port failing. So I took a very close look at mine. I sort of tried to do the stress tests on it and everything. The one on my unit seems fine. A whole bunch of people have had the unit for a long time and had no problems. So I don't know, but I want to make you aware that that is a complaint. And by the way, I don't like those USB mini ports anyway, whether it's on this device or other devices. I just think they're a pain in the butt to use. So I'll be glad when they all go away and they're replaced by USB-C. But at any rate, so that was a complaint. And then the other complaint was that the speakers use audio cues, like when they're powering up, when they're connected, you get the voice on there. I'm sure if you use Bluetooth devices, you've heard this voice before or a voice like it. And some people complain about that. They don't like that voice coming on there telling them what's going on. So those are the two possible issues that you need to be aware of. Final verdict on this, I love these speakers. I hope mine lasts a long time because they sound so good. And I just love the way they look and feel. I love that bamboo on the front. They're $149 with free shipping. You can buy them directly from House of Marley. I have a link in the show notes, and they're called the Get Together Mini Speakers, and they're really cool. Really like them a lot. All right, let's take care of a little Virtual Camera Club news. First off, I want to thank our Patreon members, our Inner Circle members, the people that support our podcast month in and month out. We have a couple of new members, and I'm very thrilled to have them with us. Our Inner Circle members are not only people who help support this community financially, but they also serve a very important role as to helping me to guide not only the podcast, but the workshops and everything that we do in a direction that is meaningful and entertaining and useful to the community. And by getting community feedback on that and by getting the opinions of our Inner Circle members, I feel like that helps me stay on track. So thank you, Inner Circle members, for your support. If you're interested in learning more, all you have to do is click on the Patreon tile that's on all the pages of The Digital Story. Take a look around, see what you think, and I'm hoping that at some point you too will be an Inner Circle member. We would love to have you. And finally, I would like to thank our friends at Red River Paper, the longest running sponsor of The Digital Story. These are the people that care about printing like nobody else I have ever met cares about printing. And I just ran a piece, it was on Facebook the other day. I pointed to an article that was on F-stoppers, I believe. And the writer had published some very good first steps to, you know, making a print. She was using Photoshop, but she really got into, you know, sizing. She really got into, you know, sampling and, you know, DPI, all that kind of good stuff. She didn't get into the settings later in the process, but I thought the tutorial was really good in terms of setting up your job, those first initial steps. And I just love it when I see stuff like that, because you could just see in her article how much she liked printing, how much she cared about printing, and how satisfying it was to her. And that satisfaction is hard to describe, but once you experience it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The folks at Red River Paper want you to have that experience as well. Click on the tile that's on all the pages of The Digital Story. Go over to their site, see what you think, read some of the tutorials, read some of the product reviews, get your hands on some paper and put that inkjet printer to work. I think you'll be glad you did. They also have a terrific Facebook page at facebook.com/redriverpaper. huge thanks to them for supporting this community. All right, that's going to do it for me this week. I hope you enjoyed the show. I hope you enjoyed learning about that cute little Nikon. I've got more great stuff queued up for next week. Make sure you come back and join me. Until then, stay safe, be creative. See you next Tuesday. Bye-bye now.